The next topic that Rav Nosson Zal speaks about is the incredible level of holiness that Rabbeinu Zal attained when it came to overcoming the major desire, which includes all other materialistic desires, which is referred to as taivas hamishgal, illegal and illicit type of relationships, where it's not one's own wife and in a kosher manner. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that the level of holiness that Rabbeinu Zal attained in this area is indescribable. Rabbeinu Zal said that he had many tests in his youth, and yet he said, the truth is, it's not a test at all. Because he said, in fact, it's not something desirable at all. And Rabbeinu Zal said, anyone who has a little bit of intelligence, even if it's a non-Jew, if he's genuinely intelligent, would be able to recognize that this is not something desirable at all whatsoever. And Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that a person who understands physiology and biology, how the body is constructed and how the body works, such a person should be repulsed by this in a tremendous way. And Rabbeinu Zal said that he achieved a level whereby this item was completely repulsive to him. And he explained why and how exactly, but Rav Nosson Zal says, unfortunately, we forgot some of the details in how Rabbeinu Zal made this so clear. However, he expressed this feeling that this taiva was something that he had no desire for whatsoever, not only that, but extremely repulsive to him. And made the statement emphatically clear that anyone who has a little bit of seichel, a little bit of intelligence, for them this should not be considered a test at all whatsoever, to be able to avoid any sins in thought, in speech, in action in this area. However, before Rabbeinu Zal attained this level, where this should be nothing to him at all and so repulsive, he said he had many major, awesome tests in this area, especially in his youth, which is a time when the blood is hot, when a person has all kinds of rampant desires. And Rabbeinu Zal said he had many, many tests with this, where he had opportunities to fulfill his desires, meaning that he had major temptations for sins in this area, and he had the ability to fulfill the desire, and he was in extreme danger at the time, and yet he was zeichet to remain strong, very strong, and hold back and overcome the temptation and to be able to control the taiva many times. And yet, even though at the time that he went through these tests, it was scary and dangerous, he didn't try to avoid the test subsequently, but rather he wanted to be tested. And he actually prayed to Hashem, he davened to Hashem for Hashem to test him. Because he was so confident and so positive that he would definitely not go against Hashem. Because he said, how is it possible for somebody to commit a sin and go directly against the will of Hashem, other than if the person becomes temporarily insane? But so long as he would maintain at least a little bit of seichel during the test, he knew that based on his level, how strong he was, that he would definitely be able to remain loyal to Hashem. Interesting to note, this shiur is being given shortly before the holiday of Shavuos, when we read Matan Torah, we read the story of Hashem giving the Torah to the Jews on Har Sinai. In preparation for Matan Torah, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go down and tell the Jews that the mountain is going to be on fire at the time, that this is a very dangerous experience, Matan Torah, and put a fence around the mountain and make sure that nobody crosses a line, that nobody tries to get too close and be harmed in the process. Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, and then at one point, Hashem says again, go down and warn the people. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, there's no need to tell them. How can they possibly do it? It's impossible. You told them not to. And the Mefarshim, the commentaries on this, point out that to Moshe Rabbeinu, this was so clear to him, it was an impossibility. As Rabbeinu Zal points out, by all the very, very high-level tzaddikim, when they know that Hashem doesn't want them to do something, that becomes something impossible, totally. It's not a test anymore. The test for them is only in clarifying exactly what Hashem wants, that in certain rare situations where Hashem does not make it clear, and the tzaddik has to struggle and strive to be zeichet to understand what Hashem really wants, that's a test, that's difficult. But once Hashem expresses His will, and a tzaddik knows what Hashem wants, then it's no test anymore. It's not an issue whether I'm going to comply or not comply. That becomes a non-issue. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu worded it in this way. Hashem, how can they do it? They can't do it. You told them not to. To him, this wasn't, it's not a matter, we know that in the English language you have the word can and may. What a person can do, what's possible and impossible. And then there are things that even if it's possible to do it, but a person, they don't have permission to do it. By the great tzaddikim, once Hashem expresses His will, it becomes an impossibility. And this is where Rabbeinu Zal felt so confident, so positive in his youth, in this, at the time of fire, that I'll never, ever go directly against Hashem, especially in something that's so important. And it's interesting to note, Rabbeinu Zal mentions in Likut Imran, I remember hearing this when I first came to Breslov as a teenager. One of the great leaders in Breslov, Rabbi Yechaim Rosenzichron of Avrocha, mentioned that the Baal Shem Tov says, how can Hashem test a tzaddik? How is it possible for Hashem to test a tzaddik? How can a tzaddik ever go against Hashem? And the Baal Shem Tov said that the only way for Hashem to test a tzaddik is when Hashem takes away some of his das. If the tzaddik is playing with the full deck, as we say, if he has his consciousness, if his brain is functioning, you know, normally, there's no possibility of a test. There's no chance of the world in him going against Hashem in any way, the smallest to the biggest item. It's only in order to test the tzaddik, Hashem has to take away the das of that tzaddik for a moment or for a short period of time, and then it's possible for the tzaddik to experience a test. On a certain level, this applies to every person on a much lower level. The Gemara says, that a person, a Jew, does not commit a sin unless a spirit of insanity, of foolishness, takes over. Meaning that if a person has their normal consciousness, person's playing with a full deck, what person knows that there's one door if you open it, and a lion or a snake or 100 lions, 100 snakes are going to come out to bite you and tear you to pieces. That's if a person opens a door to commit a sin. The other door, if you open the door to do a mitzvah, there's eternal reward. Which person's going to choose the wrong door? It's an impossibility. Elamai, it's based on this ruach shtus, this temporary insanity that a person experiences that allows them, chas v'shon, to do the wrong thing, to make the wrong choice. And Rabbi Nosson Zal reiterates that, again, as confident as Rabbeinu Zal was, at the time that he was going through the test, he was in extreme danger. And he cried out to Hashem, begging Hashem for help, until he was zeichet to overcome the temptation and to be saved from the sin. And yet, despite that, when he saw an opportunity again, he wouldn't run away from it. He didn't run away from the temptation or the sin, despite the fact that during the test, it was extremely difficult. And this happened many, many times to him. And Hashem helped him, and he was zochah to overcome the evil inclination, the temptation, and to break this desire, this taiva, the taiva for the wrong type of relationship with women, in thought, in speech, and in action. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, V'hoya kodosh godol ma'oid ma'oid b'prishus taiva zu. Rabbeinu Zal achieved an incredible high level of holiness regarding abstaining, being removed from this taiva, b'prishus godol u'b'gedusha gedol v'nairoa ma'oid. An incredible high level of abstention, of distancing himself from this completely, and attaining an awesome high level of holiness. We know that each one of the holidays, Rabbeinu Zal tells us in Likutei Moran, that each one of the holidays has a power to strengthen a person in overcoming one of the three major desires. The holiday of Pesach is associated with money. The holiday of Shavuos, we're told, is associated with this union of Tikkun HaBris, purity in relationships between men and women. And there are different representations of this. One representation is the fact that we stay awake the entire night. On Shavuos night, there's a special, special privilege that a Jew has to stay awake the entire night. And we know that nighttime and sleep, during sleep, is one of the times when a person is most vulnerable to committing sins in this area with women, between men and women. In addition to that, we have the issue of separation between husband and wife during this holiday, during the holiday of Shavuos, which also represents a person strengthening, overcoming any improper, any wrong type of association within this area. Rav Nosson Zal writes that he heard that Rabbeinu Zal said that he felt that the Yetzer Hara was offering him a deal. The Yetzer Hara was offering him that he would go easy on him. He'll grant him success in all other areas of Yiddishkeit. He'll make it easy for him to attain success in overcoming all other desires, all other temptations, as long as Rabbeinu Zal would be willing to go easy in this area, to be a little more loose and less strict regarding the issue of Tikkun HaBris, purity in the relationship between men and women. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when he realized that that was the deal that was being offered to him, he reversed it. He understood that, on the contrary, if there's anything that he's going to try to go all out in conquering completely, it's going to be this issue of being as perfect as possible in purity in the relationship between men and women. That other things, maybe he'll be willing to forego a little bit, to be a drop. But in this, it's all out. It's everything. Not everything or nothing, that kind of thing. Because he understood that this is the Ikar. And we know Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Moran chapter 2, quoting the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Ikra de Yitzra Bisha Alarayim, that the main reason that the evil inclination was created, the main test of a Jew in this world, is regarding this issue of purity between men and women. We know that each angel is named, the name is related to the mission. The angel Raphael is the angel associated with refuah, healing, curing. The angel Gavriel is associated with acts of gvura that Hashem performs sometimes through this angel. The Satan, the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, his name, the Gemara tells us, is Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. We don't pronounce the name. It's Sam means poison, Kale means heavenly. That's his name. And it's brought that Samach Mem Aleph Lamed is Bigimatria Niuf, Nun Aleph Pei, which means adultery, which is the umbrella term used for all sins in that area. To know that this is the area that this angel works hardest to get a person to fall, chas v'shalom, because he knows if a person falls in this area, chas v'shalom, it has a domino effect on their whole Yiddishkeit, chas v'shalom. It's also brought that the word bris, bris means covenant, which is the term that's used again to refer to purity in this area of relationships between men and women. The word bris is 612, the numerical value, plus the word itself, the koilel, is 613, showing that this area includes in it all 613 commandments. If a person is zoicha to try to be good, to try to be strong in this area, then automatically it affects all taryak mitzvahs, every facet of the Torah. And Rabbi Nizal says that that's actually the way he conducted himself in the beginning. That when it came to other areas, like food, the area of food, he didn't apply himself completely to trying to break the physical desire for food. But rather, he ate a lot. This is in his early youth. He would eat harbe moed moed, a lot. Much more than regular people. And he said that he took his whole feeling of desire and put it into food at that time in order to be able to give himself everything he needed to combat the desire, the wrong type of desire for women. However, afterwards, he addressed the food issue also. Rabbi Nosson Zal reiterates that Rabbi Nizal had major struggles and battles and wars and tests before he succeeded in breaking this taiva haklolis, this all-inclusive taiva related to women. And he davened many, many tefillos and cried a lot and had poured out his heart to Hashem many different ways, pleading and begging Hashem to save him from falling in this area, until he was zeicha to overcome all temptations, all tests, and purify himself to an incredible, incredible high level, until he succeeded in breaking this taiva completely, to the point where it was hard for him to understand whatsoever. He couldn't imagine a person who found it difficult to overcome this taiva, because he had attained a level where it seemed like nothing to him anymore. He broke out of this so completely, completely, that it seemed like nothing. He couldn't relate to a person who found this difficult. In a sense, he had forgotten how hard he worked, how much he had to kill himself to get to that level. We know once a person gets to a certain level of success in the area, it seems easy to them. It becomes as if it's no big deal. And Rabbi Nizal spoke a lot about this, about eliminating and getting to a level where this should be repulsive to a person. And he said, Rabbi Nizal said, you can't talk to people who are involved in this, people who have been overtaken by this taiva. It's hard to talk to them about it because it's in their blood. It's in their blood and it's in their conscious to a level where they can't relate to somebody finding this not desirable. What do you mean it's not? It's the most desirable thing in the world. Therefore, it's Rabbi Nizal says you can't talk to those kind of people a lot about this. However, again, he reiterated, any person who's intelligent, mature, can definitely easily get to a level where this becomes nothing to them, where this becomes something repulsive. Because Rabbi Nizal reiterated, to somebody who's intelligent, this is something that's repulsive. And Rabbi Nizal said, but there has to be some secret to this. There has to be some secret potion in this thing that makes it so attractive, desirable, and a magnetic attraction to it. Because in reality, Rabbi Nizal said, on a normal level, on the surface, to somebody who studies physiology, these things, some of this form, right, walk into a butcher shop. Person walks into a butcher shop and they see a slab of meat hanging on a hook. Would a person say, wow, that's so attractive? Would they take a second look to see how? What is it? What is the human body? Under this, it's the same thing. It's a slab of meat with blood, with veins and different things. If a person had the ability to look at it, to act correctly the right way, be something that they don't find overcoming and overwhelming and tempting and all-encompassing the way some people find this thing. And Rav Nosson Zal says that Rabbeinu Zal prided himself in this, how powerful he was and how successful he was in overcoming this thing, and to be able to say that to him, this is not an issue anymore whatsoever. Rabbeinu Zal said to him, he had achieved a level where a man and a woman were exactly the same to him. Nothing, if you could measure his blood pressure or his nervous system, you would see that he didn't change one iota from the most attractive and seductive to woman to a man, no change at all whatsoever. And that it was no longer a battle for him whatsoever. The issue of hearing her thoughts when he would see a woman or talk to a woman, that he had achieved a level where to him both of these were identical, exactly the same, male and female.